Today is Erev Rosh Chodesh Sivan. Okay, there is a custom to recite on this day a tefillah from the Shlah, the Shlah HaKadosh. We have to understand the background to this minog, I wouldn't call it a skula. I wouldn't use that term skula. That's not really a fair word to use. But we have to let's allow us some background. We have a tradition that on every Rosh Chodesh, the beginning of the month captures within it the potency of what will happen that month, what the moadim that occur in the month. It's intensified on Rosh Chodesh, and that is why there are Erev Rosh Chodesh is called Yom Kippur Katan. There are people who fast every Erev Rosh Chodesh, and there are people that even go so far they daven a mincha. It's called Yom Kippur Katan. And they lay in Vaychal, if there are 10 people who are fasting. Okay, this is an ancient tradition to view Erev Rosh Chodesh as a day devoted to do teshuvah. Yom Kippur Katan. And we once discussed this. There's a very basic question. Why is it that Yom Kippur comes after Rosh Hashanah? Logically, we would expect first we do teshuvah, we cleanse ourselves from our sins, and then we enter into the festival of Rosh Hashanah. We come to the new year, the Yom Hadin, and the Yom Hadin HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to decide what's going to be this year. Hashem is going to look at us. So logically, if we would not know otherwise, it would be logical. We should start off with Elul, and then work our way up to Yom Kippur. And then after Yom Kippur, we will have, following the day after Yom Kippur, we'll have, now it's Rosh Hashanah. It should be the 3-day festival. Yom Kippur, we fast. And after we break our fast with a lavish su'udah on the night of Rosh Hashanah, and 2 days Rosh Hashanah being mispalo for a good year. First we do teshuvah, sur meira va'asei tov. This is the logical approach to preparing for the Yom Hadin. And yet we do it backwards. We jump into Rosh Hashanah, just jump right in, and we're mispalo for a wonderful year. And then we spend 10 days making all the corrections, weeding out all the bugs. It's like a piece of software. So you release the new piece of software to the market before it's been tested and checked that it really, really works. And then when there are emergencies the next couple of days, so you have a staff on call to fix all the emergencies. It's not professional. It's not the way you do things. If you're going to release to the market a piece of software that's not been tested, and right away there are problems, it's not working, and your customers are frustrated, they're not going to buy this anymore. They're not going to buy from any other products. You're going to lose your reputation. And it's much more difficult to fix once already your customers have acquired it. It doesn't make sense. The proper approach to prepare for the new year would be to first do teshuvah, have a Yom Kippur, we should be cleansed from our sins, and then we should enter into the new year, to the Yom Hadin, what Hashem has in store for us the following year. So why is it the other way around? That's not for now. That's a whole big topic of discussion. And I remember, there's a lot of ideas as why it is that way. However, there is one very big however, and that is that every month of the year, we do it the right way. The only time we have the exception of first jumping into the new year and being mispalo for success, and then doing teshuvah is Rosh Hashanah and Tishrei. But every Rosh Chodesh is a minor Rosh Hashanah. It's a new beginning. It's a me'ein. It's a it's an element of Rosh Hashanah. And for every Rosh Chodesh, what we indeed do is we first do Teshuvah. We have a Yom Kippur before Rosh Hashanah. Yom Kippur Katan. We first do Teshuvah, so that when we come to Rosh Chodesh, which is a minor Yom Hadin, we should be clean, and everything should be A-OK. We do that 11 months here, not exactly, because there are 4 months when we don't have Yom Kippur Katan, but basically the basic pattern is, on a regular Rosh Chodesh, we first do Teshuvah, we have a Yom Kippur, before we have the Rosh Hashanah. The only exception is in Tishrei, where the order is reversed, where we first have Rosh Hashanah, and then we spend 10 days doing Teshuvah to repair any damage. That's the exception. What we do ordinarily is first Teshuvah, then Rosh Hashanah, because every Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Hadin. What is the Yom Hadin? What is the Yom Hadin of Chodesh Sivan? It's very significant. It's the Yom Hadin of Matan Torah. And we may not take it too seriously, because for whatever reason, it's not a matter of life, and we don't view it as being a matter of life and death. When it comes to Pesach, we get nervous, because Pesach is a Yom Hadin on Tavua, Parnasa. When it comes to Sukkot, when it comes to each month has its Yom Hadin. But the truth is, Chodesh Sivan is a major, major Yom Hadin, because this is the month of Zman Matan Torosein. And in the beginning of the Torah, at the end of creation, on day 6, Hashem says, Vayere Vayvoker Yom Hashishi. There's a Hei Hayidia regarding in relation to the 6th day. It doesn't say Yom Shishi, like it says Yom Chamishi, Yom Rivi'i, Yom Shlishi, Yom Sheni. It says Yom Hashishi. And everyone knows the famous Mamech Hazal, that the Hei Hayidia of Yom Hashishi refers to Shishi B'Sivan. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said the entire world will be suspended, will be hanging in the balance. We will wait to see what will happen on this fateful day of Yom HaShishi. Will Klal Yisrael accept the Torah? If they will accept the Torah, then the world will endure. And it will all have been worth it. Then the Sheishas Yimei HaBereishis will have become permanent. Will have a kiyum. But if Chas V'Sholom Klal Yisrael does not accept the Torah, then the entire world will revert back to Tohu V'Vohu. Rashi says this, the entire world, all of Hashem's effort, labor, amelos, to create this complex world, and all that's in it, was hanging in the balance until Shishi B'Sivan. When we come to this month, we come to the month of Sivan, we are reliving that Yom HaShishi. The world hangs in the balance. What's going to be in 6 days from now? Now you'll say, what do you mean? Once we makabel the Torah at Har Sinai, it's all over. No, it's not. That's not the way it works. Time, we go through cycles of time. Every year, there is a new Kabbalah. There is a new acceptance. Okay, obviously, it's not with the same intensity, the same level of significance as the first Kabbalah Satorah by Matan Torah, but every single year there is a new dimension of, are we going to accept the Torah? And if the heart and mind of Klal Yisrael decides to reject the Torah, then there is an element of creation that just disappears, that disintegrates. It's not all or nothing. It's not that Hashem created this magnificent world and we're waiting for the year of Matan Tov Har Sinai and we said Naseh V'Nishma, done! There's nothing more to do. That's not the way it goes. What happened was, in creation there are numerous dimensions of creation. And the bulk of it was achieved at the time of Matan Torah, Har Sinai. But there are other elements in creation that are still hanging in the balance. Who knows what these things are? Who knows what kind of enhancements to our quality of life that was all included in creation, that hang in the balance? And to the degree that Klal Yisrael sincerely is mekabel Torah, those elements of creation come forth, endure in this world. Now we know in this world there's an enormous degree of Baal Tashchis. Mm-hmm. We all know that. We all know that there's so much potential. Wherever you turn, you look, and what do you see? Waste. Wow. Look at this bracha. Incredible, awesome bracha. And look how it's being wasted. Wherever you turn in life, in every dimension. Okay, you go to a wedding, look how much food they throw out. You look at the government spending, look how much pork. Look how much waste. I read yesterday that the United States spent already $3 billion dealing with all of the illegal children that are trying to enter the United States illegally. $3 billion. Detention centers, hiring personnel, feeding them, giving them vaccines, and doing all of these things. How much did the wall already cost? There would have been a wall. Is it the responsibility of the United States? This is all politics. But you look in government, it's like, wow, the amount of money it's a shame. And it's with people, it's a shame. Everything you see, so much waste. That's all part of this dimension. Klali, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this world, he created this world with enormous, enormous potential. And that potential has yet to be realized. And the Tanai that potential will be realized and will produce peros will be if Klali Shol will say Nasa V'Nishma. They will take advantage of the purpose of creation to sanctify this world. And if Klal Yisrael lacks sincerity in their acceptance of the Torah, that's where all the waste comes from. It's all tohu v'vohu. This potential of blessing out the window.
Wouldn't you say that America, where 90% of Jews are not Shomrei Torah mitzvahs, that is an element of rejection of the Torah?
I didn't say that.
I'm asking, in fact, is...
I don't think you can say this. Tinok Shemishva, this Golus, we live in a very complicated world. There's the terrible tsaros of Golus. That's a different topic. It is what it is. It is what it is. The people that we're dealing with today.
There is an element of rejection.
I don't know how far you can say that. I don't know. These are all great grandchildren. Many of the people that are not religious today in America are great grandchildren of immigrants. And the immigrants came here to this country in the worst conditions possible. They fled from persecution, from abject poverty, from living miserable lives in Europe, in Poland, in Russia. They came to America. America was a very dangerous country, and there were no benefits, there were no programs. If you didn't work, you would starve to death. There was no Jewish education. It was a very difficult time. And there's no fault to these people, what happened to them. You can't chas v'shalom blame anyone. Who says any of us would be any different if we fled? We were in their shoes. And what happened was, it was just a trickle down. It was just a horrible situation. There was no Jewish education, difficult times. And here we are 100 years later. And unfortunately, many of these people have been lost. It's very, very sad. There's no one to blame. Well, that's going off topic, but this is an idea where I think it's very important to bring out, is Chazal tell us to review. Yom HaShishi, the entire world hell was hanging in the balance. Will the Jewish people accept the Torah on Shishi B'Sivan? It's not a one-shot deal. It's not 100%. There are many, many dimensions in this concept of Yom HaShishi. And although the bulk of it was achieved on the sixth day of Sivan, at the time during the life of Moshe Rabbeinu in the desert, excellent. But every generation, this concept repeats itself. Because every generation, every single year, when it comes Shishi B'Sivan, we relive the experience. It's Yom Matan Torah Seinu. And the challenge to us is, do you really want to accept the Torah? Does it really mean a lot to you? And if we go into Shavuos with a lip service, life is difficult. It's hard to make a parnasa. I have a lot of problems. I'm depressed. I need a lot of help. And you know, I'm not really so hot about Kabbalah Satora. Chas v'shalom, you know what that means? It means that the dimension of creation that was waiting for this day has been rejected. And what it says in Rashi, the world was hanging in the balance. If you'll accept the Torah, excellent. And if you're not going to accept the Torah, the world will revert to tohu vavohu. There is a blessing, there's a potential that's waiting to be achieved in this world that we can't even fathom how much pleasure it would bring us. But if we're going to come into the Yom Tov of Shavuos and we're going to say, you know what, we're not interested. We'll go to shul, we'll daven, we'll be lip service, we'll eat our cheesecake and just schmooze away and, you know, business as usual. It's a chaval. Because that dimension of creation that has enormous potential to give bracha to this world, to cure all illnesses, to give us new technology, new blessing, new satisfaction, new purpose in this world. Tohu vavohu. Every year has its element that takes us back to Maisa Bereishis. That's what Kabbalah Sator is all about. And Rosh Chodesh is really the Haschalah of that. Rosh Chodesh is the beginning of that process of being Makabel the Torah, because all of the events, all of the decisions, all of the dinim of the month are rooted in Rosh Chodesh, and that makes Chodesh Sivan to a degree much, much more important than all of the other Rosh Chodeshim. Besides Tishrei, okay, Tishrei, you know, it's mi yichya mi yomos. Tishrei is on the individual level, mi yichya mi yomos. But on the peros, what does it mean, peros? It means quality of life. Isn't that really what it means? Peros is luxuries. There are necessities and there are luxuries. Peros is the yoyim hadin of Shavuos is al peros su'ilam. In modern day language, that means it's on the quality of life. Rosh Hashanah is mi yichye mi yomos. Pesach midoin ala tzvua. Will you have parnasa? Will basic sustenance? But Shavuos is another level. It's quality of life. It goes back to Maaseh Bereishis. It goes back to the complexity of creation, the blessing, the shefa, the potential that can be realized if only it's waiting for us to make that decision. It's not a day just to take lightly. And when we begin this process, it begins with Chodesh, it begins with Rosh Chodesh Sivan, it's taking us all the way back to the Yom HaShishi of Maaseh Bereishis, and it's serious business. And therefore, holy people back in the day would take this Rosh Chodesh extremely seriously, much more so than other Rosh Chodeshim. And therefore, and the way you prepare for Rosh Chodesh, as we started with, is you have Yom Kippur before you have Rosh Hashanah. Every Rosh Chodesh is a Rosh Hashanah. And the real way is Sur Meira V'Aseh Tov. First you have Yom Kippur, and then you have Rosh Hashanah. The only exception is Tishrei. We're there for whatever reason, not for now. It's first Rosh Hashanah, and then we have Yom Kippur. But we have Yom Kippur Katan, and then we have Rosh Hashanah. And today is the Yom Kippur, is the Hachana for this Rosh Hashanah. And it was taken very seriously. And that is why the Shloch HaKadosh, the Shloch stands for Shnei Luchai Sabris. Okay, interesting, Shnei Luchai Sabris is safer, called Shnei Luchai Sabris, relates very much to Chodesh Sivan, when the Luchai Sabris were given to the Jewish people. the Shlach HaKadosh, he lived not all that long ago. Okay, the Shlach HaKadosh is pretty recent. Pretty recent, and the Shlach HaKadosh, if you ever learn his Chidushim, his Svarim, is very creative. Unusually creative mind. Very, very unique, very powerful, very refreshing in the ideas that he presents. And he took this obviously very seriously, and he composed a very powerful tefillah, which today in the 21st century has become a marketing tool for many Torah institutions. It's from the better marketing tools, because at least it's not, you know, nothing beyond the Seber Menachem Melmi Rimanov and Tu B'Shvat and the third and Tuesday of Parshas B'Shalach, but that's already a little bit over the top. To say Parshas Hamon on Yom Gimel of Parshas B'Shalach as a segula for Parnassah. Okay, don't get me started. This marketing technique that many Torah institutions have sent out these nice cards, don't forget to say Tefillas Hashlah, and of course don't forget to send it a nice donation, but at least it's a prayer. At least it fits the theme of the day. It is actually today Yom Kippur Katon. And really, it would be ideal if we would fast. This is Shulchan Aruch. This is basic halacha. And really, we should be fasting today. And really, we should be davening a special tefillah, because it is Erev Rosh Chodesh Sivan, and the world is hanging in the balance. It really is a very serious day. And for the Shlach HaKadosh to bring this to our conscience, to our attention, and to give us a prayer, that really fits in with the theme of the day. It's really, this is not hocus pocus, it's on the mark. So from the different new ideas that have become very prominent in our generation, Lag BaOmer has taken on a whole new significance in our generation. The what? Luchas, Shnei Luchas Abris. There are two Luchas.
Yeah, but if you say Shnei, you're saying there are two.
I don't know. You have to ask the Shlach. I don't know. What? No, I was referring to the first set. Each set had two tablets. On top of the Aron, there were two tablets.
When was the second time the Lucas was brought down?
The second set.
The second set.
That was Yom Kippur.
Okay.
But that's not what it's referring to. When it says Shnei Luchas, it means the first set. It's a set. There were a total of four tablets. Two were given on Zion, on Vav Sivan, or Vav Zion, and another two were given on Yom Kippur. Total of four. Two were shattered, and two remain intact. Okay, the Shnei Luchas is not four, it's referring to two, the first set. Okay, in any event, this thing that is distributed is not so bad. It's really not, who am I to say? Okay, a big mouth. But this is something which is rooted in something that's very real. Look, Meron, it's beautiful. The Chassam Sofer we were talking about, this was not so long ago over here in the room, objected very much to people going to Meron for Lag BaOmer. What's going on over here? He was not so happy about this. Okay, saying a Parashas Hamon on the third day of Parashas B'Shalach, what's this all about? The Menachem, he never even said it. He never even said to do this. Everyone reads the whole story, the whole thing has been taken way, way out of proportion. Okay, there are other things that people do that are a little bit taken out of proportion. Okay, eating donuts on Hanukkah. Where did that come from? What's that all about? Eating donuts on Hanukkah? This is a whole new religion. Okay, there are all these other things, unfortunately, that have been really been taken way out of proportion. But this is not. This is not so bad. Not so bad, because this is really on the mark. Now, let's, before we read it very quickly, another element of introduction to this. That is tomorrow. What is tomorrow? Tomorrow is called Yom HaMeyuchas. That's what it's called. You take out a calendar, a good calendar.
Not tomorrow, Thursday. Thursday, not tomorrow.
Tomorrow
It's Rosh Chodesh.
I'm sorry. I'm getting confused. I'm sorry. Today is Erev Rosh Chodesh. I'm sorry. Correct. Today is Erev Rosh Chodesh. Yom Kippur Katar. Tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh. And after Rosh Chodesh comes, was a day that's called, the new term called Yom HaMeyuchas. What does that mean? One moment. After that, what comes on Friday? Shaloishas Yemei Hagbala. This is in the Torah. Hagbele Sahar Viki Dashtoi. Okay, put barriers, fences in front of the mountain and sanctify the Ki Dashtoi, sanctify the mountain. And tell the Jewish people you should not come near the mountain. Hagbala. Today, unfortunately, you know what Hagbala means? Public safety. Years ago, when we talk about Hagbala, you would have these very esoteric concepts of don't be a fundamentalist, don't be an extremist. There's very powerful achidushim in what is the mitzvah of Hagbala. But unfortunately today, in light of the tragedy that we're still reeling from, Hagbala means one simple thing. It means public safety. Tell Klal Yisrael when they come. Tell Klal Yisrael when they come to Har Sinai, they shouldn't push. They shouldn't get too close. There should be exits. And there should be signs like they have here in the shul that say, occupancy by more than 94 persons is dangerous and unlawful. I guess they have different sections. Occupancy by more than 600,000 people is dangerous and unlawful. Isn't that what Hagbala is? Al derech pshat. Tell them again. Come back to me and make sure that you told me that you're certified. Certification with the state and the Department of Buildings, and all the codes have been met to achieve public safety. Isn't that what Hagbala Salam became? Everything ain the mikra yoytse midei pshutai. 3 days to prepare the arena for the event, then no one should get hurt in coming to Har Sinai. There should be no pushing, no shoving. Push up shot, right? The Shloish Me'agbol begins on Friday. Friday, Shabbos, Sunday. So we have Shloish Simei Hagbola, 3 days which lead up to Matan Torah, which are sanctioned by the Torah. It's explicit in the Torah HaKadosha. Rosh Chodesh is in the Torah. It's a Yom Tov to some degree, whatever that means. Today is Erev Rosh Chodesh, which is Yom Kippur. Before you come to Rosh Chodesh, you have a Yom Kippur Katan. You have to do Teshuvah before you come to a Rosh Hashanah. But what about that day in the middle? The day between Rosh Chodesh and Shloisha Yimei Hagbala. What is that day? Nothing. Nothing. What is it? So Chazal, or I don't know Chazal, but it achieved prominence by getting a title. I don't know who named it. It's called Yom HaMeyuchas. I remember many years ago in Young Israel, I made a calendar, and I put on the calendar Shloisha Yimei Hagbala, Rosh Chodesh, Erev Rosh Chodesh, I put there on the calendar, Yoim HaMeyuchas. And I got comments, what in the world is this? What in the world did you put on the calendar, Yoim HaMeyuchas? I said, don't you know? Yoim HaMeyuchas. Not everyone heard of Yoim HaMeyuchas. So there are many perushim as to what many explanations. One explanation is, it has Egen HaYichus. When you're surrounded on two sides with holiness, on one side is Rosh Chodesh, on the other side is Shloish Yimei Hagbala. It's an insult. This should just be ordinary. No, it gets its egen yichus, its own yichus. If you're surrounded on two
Rabbi, I heard a pshat.
I'm going to go through all the pshat. Give me one moment. You'll fill in at the end what I didn't say. But the most basic pshat is that when you're in a good place and you're surrounded by good people, you become your own, you acquire egen ichas. Toiv la tzadik, the toiv la shechina. What is that? What it says in the Pirkei? Toiv or toiv? Is that what it says? Toiv la tzadik, the toiv la shechina. Oil rasha, and oil la shechina. Good neighbors, you become elevated. Rachmana litzlan, you hang out in the wrong places, your neighbors can drag you down. It can be tragic. This day, the fourth day, I'm sorry, the second day of Sivan is in a very good place. Because it's surrounded, it's a Yom Chol. It's an ordinary day, nothing special. Ordinary day, but it's in a good place. Because the day before it is Rosh Chodesh. The day after it is Shloisha Simei Hagbala. When you are surrounded by something good, it elevates you into you becoming transformed. It's a Yom HaMeyuchas. It is Shoyev. It draws Kedusha from what's before, what's after. And this is a Musar Haskel for life. Position yourself in a good place. Surround yourself with good people in the workplace, in a good shul, where you daven, where you send your children to yeshiva, where you hang out, where you go for vacation, entertainment. It makes all the difference in the world. It elevates a person to a much higher sphere. That's one pshat. Another pshat. Why is it called Yom HaMeyuchas? So some want to say, if you follow the psukim in the Torah without going into all the details, because we're out of time very quickly, to the second day of Sivan is the day in the Torah where Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu the words, V'atem tihiyun li mamleches koyhanim v'goy kodosh. It was the day when Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, I have selected you to be a mamleches koyhanim, a kingdom of priests, v'goy kodosh. There couldn't be a better day in the Jewish calendar than this day when Hashem makes such a declaration. Unbelievable. They are 10 tenuli. Others want to say that it's called Yom HaMeyuchas because it's by Hagbola. It says, Hagbel es hohor v'ki dashtoi. Now, I don't know how this works, but they want to say that the ki dashtoi, the sanctification of the mountain, was done on this day. I don't know what I'm saying. So it has something to do with the Hagbola. It was the beginning of the Hagbola, the ki dashtoi of the Hagbola. The sanctification took place on this day. I don't know what that means. Let's put that aside. The other one is one other answer.
Rabbi, may I say something? Because I write another chat that Yom HaMeyuchas is Thursday this year. It always comes out the same day as Yom Kippur.
That's another answer. Correct. That's another answer. That right. This day, it's Yom HaMeyuchas, right. It's a reminder for Yom Kippur.
So the Kedusha of Yom Kippur, right.
So it's interesting. That means that we're surrounding, it takes on a whole new significance because it means that Rosh Chodesh is surrounded with two Yom Kippurs. Today is Yom Kippur Katan. Every Erev Rosh Chodesh is Yom Kippur Katan to do Teshuvah. And then the day after Rosh Chodesh Sivan, the day of the week, Thursday, will be this year, Yom Kippur Habo Aleinu L'Toiva, will be on a Thursday. So it's a polite reminder, do Teshuvah. And we have a Rosh Chodesh that's surrounded with Yom Kippur before and Yom Kippur after. We call it Yom HaMeyuchas. Now the last answer I want to present here is the one that we're in one of the Hagdama for the Tzilus Hashla, and that is, the Umay Sa'olam, there are different midrashim. Rabbi Chaim, I'm sure, knows these midrashim a lot better than I do, but there are different midrashim describing what exactly happened when Hashem gave the Torah to Klal Yisrael. Not everything is in the Pasuk, but the Chazal, the midrashim tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be fair, he offered the Torah to all of the nations of the world. And what that means exactly is subject to interpretation. Does it really mean that Hashem was willing to give the Umay Sa'olam Kol Tarakula? Many of the Mefarshim say no. It means Hashem wanted to give each nation their chelik in Torah. They have at least the Zayin Mitzvahs. Is that called Torah? Whatever, the Zayin Mitzvahs. But Hashem wanted to give them a bonus. I want to give you another chelik in Torah. Your chelik in Torah. And the Ummah Sa'ilam, each nation says, we don't want anything. No thank you. Not only do we not want to accept all of the Tayag mitzvahs, we don't even want to accept one mitzvah. It's a pretty powerful statement, accusation. Because it's tremendous chesed to say that Hashem was willing to give them kol Torah kula. Well, not necessarily. They don't have a choice. The Sheva mitzvahs ben noyach, I don't think they have a choice. That's a rejection. You want to plug it in? Ezra. You want to plug it in?
Just
want to
plug my phone in.
Yes, so plug it in. Oh, here. You have an iPhone? Here, use this.
No,
take this, use this. Yeah, take this. This is from iPhone.
So they had no excuse.
Oh, right. You have to clarify the Meir. But the Meir says the following, this one of many midrashim, and it says that they when the Ummah Yisraelam, you have to find the midrash. You should never trust me ever when I tell you something. Just look it up. But supposedly the Medrash says that as Matan Torah got near, the Ummah Yisraelim began to have charata. They began to realize what they lost out on. And they said to Hashem, it's not fair. Zelo fair. And Hashem said to them, show me your Sefer Yichusim, your Sefer HaYichus. Hashem said, I'll give you one more chance. But now you need to show me your yichus. Where do you come from? Do you have any shorashim? Do you have any roots? This medrash needs much more clarification. It needs much more clarification in what exactly their argument was and what is Hashem's response. But it says the words are subject to interpretation, which is very difficult what it means exactly, but the words are, Hashem said to the Ummah Sa'ilam, okay, you want a second chance, you see what's happening, what's about to happen, present your Sefer HaYichus. And the Ummah Sa'ilam had nothing to show. And at the same time, Klal Yisrael said, but we have what to show. And Klal Yisrael presented the Sefer HaYichus. That we are B'nei Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Shift they call, they can trace their lineage all the way back, every single person back to Avram Avinu, all the way back. We're miyuchasim, everyone has a father and a mother. There's no gili arayos, no mamzerim. Klal Yisrael were able to present to the Ribbono Shel Olam the Sefer HaYichus, proving that they indeed are deserving of the Torah. And the Ummah Yisraelim were put to shame that they have no yichus. They play games. They engage in the worst averis possible. And there's something fundamentally lacking in who they are. This event took place. We have a tradition. Is there proof? No, I don't believe there's any proof to this. There's a tradition that this event took place on the second day of Iyar, the day before the Shloish Esimei Hagbalah. Before the ceremony began.
Sivan.
Before the ceremony began of the Hagbalah, Hagbel Esam Bikidashta, before the finale of the 3 days of Hagbalah leading into Matan Torah, there was a very big debate. Is Klal Yisrael really deserving of the Torah? Why not the Ummah Yisraelam? What exactly is the nature of the debate? I do not know. But the words of the Medrash are, present your Sefer HaYichus. Who are you? Where do you come from? What are your roots? And the Ummah Yisraelim had nothing what to show. But Klal Yisrael, they had pride and being able to trace their lineage back to the Ovis, they were able to present the Sefer HaYichus. And that's why it's called the Yoim HaMeyuchus. Okay, so he's presented over here a whole collection of reasons. Either it's Egen HaYichus, it's as Rabbi Neiman said, it's the day when Yom Kippur will fall out on this year, Habolin L'Toiva, we're surrounded by two Yom Kippurs. It's the day, we just said right now, the Sefer, where they presented the Yichus of Klal Yisrael. And the other reason we said it was, it's the day when Hashem said to Klal Yisrael, the Atem Tihunun Li Mamleches Koyhanim V'Goy Kadosh. Now, the reason that we gave, the last reason that we elaborated upon was, there was this conversation between Hashem and Klal Yisrael, the Umos HaOlam, who's really deserving to receive the Torah, and Klal Yisrael prevailed by being able to present a Yichus. This is something that is very, very important to being eligible and deserving Kabbalah Satorah.
Are you going to explain why that's a...
No, I'm not going to explain why. You want to explain why? That's not a title. That I don't want to go there. That's very critical. The Yichus of Klal Yisrael, obviously, something.
Otherwise, it sounds just like an accident of birth. You're eligible. No, there has to be a reason.
There has to be very, something very deep here. I don't know why. But obviously, you can sense it's critical. Okay, obviously it includes Kedusha Tahara. How to express this in words, I don't have the words, I do not know.
There's something about the
Yichus.
Collective consciousness,
yes,
of every nation, right? And in our case, our collective consciousness is...
this purity. Yeah. When you have Yichus, you have Tahara. There's an element of purity. Okay, let's not focus on that. I don't want to focus specifically on that, but this is a concept which everyone certainly can appreciate. We just need the right words to express it. Now, with that idea in mind, it's another element of appreciating the tefillah of the Shlo. Because the tefillah of the Shlo is a very passionate prayer on Yom Kippur Katan, which is supposed to daven. That's what Yom Kippur Katan is all about. It's a day of tefillah, of prayer, today to do teshuvah. And it's a day, like we said before, Yom Kippur Katan of Chodesh Sivan is much more potent than all of the other Yom Kippur Katans, because this Chodesh is a Chodesh which takes us back to creation. It doesn't say, we don't have this principle of going back to creation like any other month in the year. It doesn't say any concept like Yom HaShishi, if you will accept the Torah, good, and if not, the whole world will revert back to Tohu V'Vohu. It only says it's concerning the event that took place in Chodesh Sivan. So it's a very powerful Chodesh. It's a very significant time. And when you add to the mix that part of the event of Matan Torah is the need to preserve the purity of your Yichus, Yichus doesn't just go backwards. Yichus goes forwards. Many parents, they're very proud to say, I am Avur de Shmuel. Okay, you have different times people. Some people, you walk into a room and they say, do you know who I am? I'm an Einikol of the Baal Shem Tov. Right? I'm an Einikol, a Ben Acha Ben from the Baal Shem Tov. I'm an Einikol of the Brisker Rav. I'm an Einikol of this Rebbe and that Rebbe. Very nice, you're an Einikol. We'll give you a Sinu Mizrach. And we'll wait until Birchas Kohanim on Yom Tov, and we'll give a big Yashukoyach to the Kohanim who come forward to the Mizrach and force all the people in the Mizrach to leave. You know that joke? Not now. But very nice. But then there are people, when they ask, they walk into them, they say, you know who I am? I'm a Meyuchas. You know who my son is? My son is this great rabbi, is this great holy person, is this great person who has done for Klal Yisrael so much good, has given so much tzedakah, has taught so much Torah. Avua de Shmuel, like in the Gemara says, the father of Shmuel, his yichus was, you know what my son is? That's my son. You show me respect. Look who I am. Look at my children. Okay, yichus goes two ways. The people usually who have good children, they're much happier than the people who claim they're einik lach of the Baal Shem Tov. Okay, the avu the Shmuel, the yichus goes two ways. Chodesh Sivan includes the Yom HaMiyuchas. The Yom HaMiyuchas is a critical day, a critical element in the Hachana for Matan Torah. And Yichus goes two ways. Yichus backwards, going forwards. So the tefillah of the Shla primarily is a tefillah for your Yichus going forward. And just because a person maybe passed a time in his life where he has children, but everyone has grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and they're no different. And certainly everyone, when they're mispalo for the tefillah of the Gra, of tefillah Shla, the tefillah of the Shla, you're being mispalo for the grandchildren and great-grandchildren at Soif Kol HaDoros. And that's really primarily what the tefillah is all about. It's about the Yom HaMiyuchas. Chodesh tomorrow, and in 2 days is Rosh Chodesh, Yom HaMiyuchas, which is the Kabbalah, which is the Hachana for Matan Torah. And here in this tefillah he composed on a very appropriate day to be mispalo, it reflects the theme, the many powerful themes of what is necessary, the siyata d'shmaya that we ask Hashem to help us in order that we should be deserving of generations going forward, of children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren who are yireim u'shleimim. Now today is the anniversary of the event in City Field. I don't remember how many years ago that was, okay? And in hindsight, it was a...
9 years ago.
9 years ago. In hindsight, it was a major, major success. At the time of Matas Yos Salman, may have a refuah shleva, be gesund, and ibadol mechayim lechayim sklonova Rebbe, they really were mostly Sklena Rebbe. They were moiser nefesh for this event, and they took a lot of heat. Rav Matas Yos Salman took a lot of heat. Okay, Rav Matas Yos Salman, he took a lot of heat from this, from what he wanted to do. And at the time, there were a lot of people very critical, but in hindsight, it became an icon in the need for adults, I'm not talking about children, for adults to pay attention that it's a dangerous world. And technology, with all of the blessing that it has brought us, we hear Nene from the technology as we speak, we all know it's a very dangerous world. And the technology has only made it much, much more dangerous. Forget about children. Forget about that. The adults. The adults are much more, much, much more vulnerable to the dangers of technology than the children. And this event, in a magnificent way, brought it to the conscience of Klal Yisrael. You just can't ignore it. You can't ignore the dangers. You really can't ignore the dangers. It's not something you take lightly. Everyone, every serious person will admit in a heartbeat how true it is. And it was planned specifically to take place Erev Rosh Chodesh Sivan. And one of the things that they did at this event, I was there, was they said this tefillah. They said it together. You had there, I don't know how many people were there, I don't remember, were there in City Field. They read this tefillah together very slowly, very apropos. It's Erev Rosh Chodesh, it's Yom Kippur Katan, it's a day of doing teshuvah, and on teshuvah you pray to Hashem. It's not a segul, it's a tefillah. Anyway, you're supposed to be davening doing teshuvah, and he composed the tefillah, and the tefillah is very appropriate for the Chodesh Sivan, which deals with Matan Torah, deals with the Tanai of Matan Torah in the Medrash was presenting the yichus, the seder, the sefer yichusim, and the ultimate yichus is not backwards. The ultimate yichus of a person is going forwards, what he leaves over in this world. And a person needs siyata d'shmaya. It doesn't happen by itself. It takes a lot of hard work, a lot of agmas nefesh, and davening certainly doesn't cause any harm. Only can do bracha. So just for the few minutes, let's just read through the tefillah very quickly. Maybe try to be medayik, just look into some of the depth of what he wrote. Sorry, I'm not going to read the whole thing, because the whole thing at the end is just Chiramalis Tillim. But at least in the beginning, let's just take a quick run through the tefillah. I have it over here on the screen. Okay, if you don't have it, if you can't see it on the screen, I'll just say it a little slowly. I have it now here, the one copy over here. If you want to, anyone, you can give it to.
If you have email,
you probably have a million copies of it. Okay, we have over here the tefillah. It's just to read through what it says. I'll just read it together. I'm just going to read it slowly to explain it. Atu Hashem Elokeinu at Shaloi Vorasa Olam Hashem. This takes us to the theme of Chodesh Sivan. Chodesh Sivan is Bereishis. The world is hanging in the balance. We're going back to Maise Bereshis. At Shaloi Varas Olam, you existed before the world was created. V'yatu Hu Elokeinu Misha Varas Olam, from when the world existed. From you created the world. Ume Olam V'yad Olam Ato El, and from this world to the next world, we're discussing over here the past, the present, and the future. Before the world was created, this world, and the next world. Uvarasa oylamcha, begin for the purpose leishta moda'a eloikuscha, to make it known. The begin means the purpose of this. This is very deep ideas. The shla here is not a lightweight. It's saying very, very deep ideas. Very going out on a limb by saying things that today, if someone would write something like this, they would right away start analyzing who says, how do you know, you have a makar. He knew what he was doing. You created this world, begin so that, for the purpose, le'ishte moda'o elokuscha, that your godliness should be known. A moda means a proclamation. The purpose of this world is so that the creatures should be aware that there is a creator. Hashem purposely hid himself, and Hashem wants us to find him. This world is just one big game of hide and seek. I remember there was a person who told me that he claims this to be true. This person passed away, he's no longer living, and I remember he told this to me many, many times. He said that children, the game that children enjoy more than any other game possible, is hide and seek. There is no activity in this world that gives little children more pleasure than playing hide and seek. You can go to Toys R Us, you can buy them every single toy. Toys R Us went out of business? I don't know, whatever. You can go on Amazon and buy a child every single gadget toy in the entire Amazon, and you can give it to them, they can play with it. They will not have as much joy compared to playing with them, of course, talking about a very tender age, the game of hide and seek. It gives them the most joy. Try it. This is what he told me many, many times. That's the whole world. That's exactly what he says over here, the Shla. Adults are a bunch of children, a bunch of babies. Every adult is just a baby in disguise, a baby wearing jacket and a tie and nice glasses. He lost his hair by now. But just a baby. He's just a baby. And what do babies like to play? Hide and seek. Who do you play hide and seek with? The Ribbono Shel Olam. And that gives the person the greatest sipuk hanah possible. And that's what it says here. The purpose of this world is to play hide and seek. Ubarasa oylamcha, begin so that Le'ishte mo'do'o elukuscha. Your godliness shall become revealed be'emtsu'us. How? What are the rules of the game? What are the tools? What is the setting? Through the Torah hakidosha, by learning Torah, by doing the mitzvahs of the Torah, having respect for the Torah, anything relating to the Torah is part of the setting, is part of the rules of the game of hide and seek. Kumoi, she'amru, Rabbi Hussein Zichron Levracha, Bereshis, what's the word Bereshis? Bishvil, the base is Bishvil, it's short for Bishvil, Torah, the Torah is called Reishis, Reishis Darakoi, Bereshis, for the purpose of Reishis, Bishvil Reishis, the Jewish people are called Reishis, Uvishvil Yid Reishis Tevu Asai, they're also called Reishis, Bishvil Torah, Uvishvil Yisrael, Kihem amcha v'nachalosicha, they are your nation and your inheritance. Asher bocharta bochem, you have selected them. Mikol umos. This is the theme of Chodesh Sivan. Chodesh Sivan is, like we said, what happened on Yom HaMayuchas? The Atem tihi yunli mamleches kaihanim v'goy kolosh. V'nasat lechem teiras chakidosha. Vav Sivan. Vekeravta l'shimcha, you brought them. Vekeravtam l'shimcha hagadol. This is an explosive statement. Hashem didn't just give us the Torah. It's an ongoing process. Hashem is always drawing us near Him. It's not just a one-day event. Here's the Torah. Have a nice day. See you later. I have other things I need to do. Hashem is continuously bringing us near Him. V'alkiyum ha'olam, v'alkiyum ha'Torah, bo lanu mimcho Hashem Elokeinu shnei tzivuyim. Through, okay, the creation of this world, the world shall remain in existence, and the Torah, it's a very powerful statement, the kiyum ha'Torah, through the, it's very difficult to really translate these words accurately, what does he really mean? There's very lot of depth. Through the kiyum ha'olam, the existence of the world, and the kiyum means the fulfillment of the Torah. The Torah exists no matter if the world, even if the world doesn't exist, the Torah will still exist. So you have to appreciate what these words mean exactly. But through the existence of this world and through the existence of the Torah, Bolanu, it has come to us, Mimcha Hashem Elokeinu Shnei Tzivuyim. We want to focus down two commandments of the Tayag Mitzvahs. Number one, Kosavta B'Sarascha Peru Urvu. Be fruitful and multiply. And you also said in the Torah, Chasavta B'Torah, you also said in the Torah, V'li Maditem Esemes B'neichem, you shall teach your children Torah. V'yakavana B'shtehen Achas. We're going to synthesize these two mitzvahs. Have children. But don't just have children and let them roam around wild and go to great adventures and don't care for them. The purpose of having children is Kiloy Lisayu Varasa Kim Lashavis, will was created not to be Toyhu Vavahu, but was created to be inhabited. Ulchvaid Khabaras Babarasa, and for your honor did you create Yatsarta Afasis. The three things you created, you formed, and you have done. Okay, this is poetry. Certainly there's a lot of depth which I don't know the significance. Kidei, three different terms. Kidei sheni anachnu v'tzetzoeinu us and our offspring v'tzetzoei kol amcha beis Yisrael, not just us. Don't be selfish. Don't be selfish. There are other people out there also. Yoidei shemecha shall know your name v'loim dei soira secha shall know your Torah. Have children for the purpose of teaching them Torah. And by teaching them Torah, it will give the world kiyum, will give the world sheves. Uvechein, therefore, we come to the prayer of Avayelech Hashem, I come to you Hashem, Melech Malchi Amlochim. I come to you Hashem, who is the King of Kings. And what do I say to you? The appeal I present, I cast, Techinosi, my supplication. Ve'enai, my eyes, l'chotiyut, siluyos, are gazing, they're suspended, antulius means they're hanging, they are focused. Ad she'techoneni, until you will show me favor. V'sishma sifilasi, listen to my supplication, lahazmanli, to prepare. This is a very, very powerful concept, Rabbi Yisrael. He doesn't say shetitainli. Okay, this is a very, very powerful word that the Shlah knew what he was doing. He was very precise. If we were writing this prayer, we would say shetitainli. He says here the word lahazminli, hazmana. Hazmana means to prepare. If we were writing this prayer, we would say shetitainli. You shall give me children. Go to the doctor, and natural. Just give me children. No, that's not what it says here. Lahazminli. This is an act of preparation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to delicately select. Now, if you want to get to all the gory details, we know that in the one little drop of zera, sperm, how many potential, I don't know the exact terminology, but how many potential elements in that one drop of zera can turn into a human being? Millions! Million! One little teapot of zera under a microscope. How many? And HaKadosh Baruch, it's the Feresh of Chazal. The Feresh of Chazal, Hashem selects specifically which chelek of that tipa shall be selected, shall be used to fashion a human being, because every single one will result in a different type of person. It's unbelievable. Lahazmin. Okay, the process of reproduction by Klal Yisrael is Kodesh Kodoshim. A woman has to prepare Zayin Nikiyim, Mikvah. It's not just like animals. There's an incredible element of hazmana, of preparation. It's not like the goyim. The goyim, it's nothing. It's like animals. Like Klal Yisrael, there's an intensity of kedusha that's part of this process, and the word lahazmin captures that in a very powerful way. Libanim abonais wave gam heim yifu. You got to think about the future. People, they see this shidduch. I can't believe this. No one, never in a million years. Why? Because you don't understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking ahead five generations. And everything has to come into place. Everything has to be timed just right. There's a complexity that is beyond our comprehension, and how every piece of the puzzle has to fit together. And therefore, he writes and makes it very clear, Lahazmin li banu banes v'gam heim yifu v'yiblish, they also multiply heim u'b'neim u'b'neim atzev kol adayos. L'tachlis, purpose, not just, for fun. Sheheim v'ani, they and I. Notice he puts the children first before the parents. Vani kulanu, all of us, ya'asku, shall busy ourselves with sayroska, hakadosh shall lilmod ulalamed, lishmar velasois ulakaimes, kol divrei salmu toiroska be'ahava. V'ho'erinim v'sorasech, enlighten us in your Torah, v'dabiklu v'sorasech, liyahavu liyira, to love and to fear es shemecha. Avinu avrachaman, our Father is merciful, tein l'chulanu, don't be selfish, it's for everyone. Chayim Arukim. By the way, that's the correct way to say it. I know a big expert, he edits journals, and it's Arukim. It's not Aruchim. I'm not going to change. I'm going to always say Aruchim, because that's how the Olam says it. But you should know that the correct pronunciation is Chayim Arukim. Arukim. That's the correct pronunciation, even though if you tell this to anyone outside of this room, they'll tell you out of your mind, I never heard that before, it's Chaim Aruchim. Okay, but the real way to pronounce it is Chaim Aruchim. Okay?
Because the kubutz is Tnua Ktana, and it needs a dagesh after that.
A tnua Kitana, the shurik.
The shurik,
right.
Then it's like you say, Bruchim. Don't say Bruchim, Bruchim Habayim, but Bruchim Habayim. But this is a kibbutz, then you have Arukim.
Kibbutz, like three dots. Three dots on the diagonal demands that the next letter have a dot. Mi chomoicha of rachamim, zoicher yitzil v'stazachim yom ha-kippurim. And it is, today is Yom Kippur. This is Yom Kippur. Avrachamim, zoicher yitzil v'lechayim rachamim, you remember your creatures. For life, berachamim, zoicherinu l'chayim, nitzchiyim. Eternal life. You live on through your children. Kimoyshe yispalil avravina, this is a very powerful part of the pasuk, of the tefillah. Lu yichye lefonecha. If only Yishmael, who is he mispal? This will, can you imagine this? That the Shlo HaKadosh is writing this in his tefillah, he's including this in his tefillah, and this was said concerning who? This was said concerning Yishmael. Could you imagine today, where's Meir Appeldorf? Where is he? Went outside? Could you imagine what it says over here? Today, Yom Kippur Katan, Meir, you see what it says over here in this tefillah? Today is Yom Kippur Katan. They're shooting missiles. The Arabs are the Einikloch of Yishmael. Could you fathom the irony in what was going on over here today? The Arabs today are shooting a barrage of missiles. Even the Iron Dome can't keep up with the missiles. And Rachmana Litzlan, two people were nifter, and hundreds, and I don't know how many were injured, and hundreds have been psychologically damaged from the terror of what's going on. And here we are, everyone today is marketing today is very powerful. Everyone today is saying this tefillah. And what are they saying? They're quoting the pasuk, Avraham Avinu was mispalel for Yishmael. Lu yichyel, they're trying to kill us. The mom is trying to kill us. Today, Hayoim, right now as we speak, there are missiles flying all over Eretz Yisrael. And they're trying to kill us. And here, Klal Yisrael, today, Mamish, as they're trying to kill us, we're being mispalel for them. Lo yichya lefanecha. Is this not the irony? Is this not shocking? And what does this mean? What does it mean, really, yichya? So he tells us what it means. Uperish Rabbi Sen Zichron Levracha Birasecha. Their life is only good if they fear you, Hashem. Yirah Shemayim. A life without Yirah Shamayim is not worth living. We're being mispalo for the Yishmaelim today, Rabbi Yisai, that they should be Yirah Shamayim. That's the response. The response to terror is that they should be, you should become Yirah Shamayim. It's mind-boggling. It's just mind-boggling to appreciate the depth of the irony of how this comes together. And of course for us, I mean, I'm taking this a little bit out of context, obviously, but from the basic part of the tefillah, the Shlah is drawing from this pasuk and this chazal to remind us what our life is supposed to be all about. Our life is supposed to be a life of Yirah Shamayim. Ki al kein basi levakesh, I'm coming out to seek ulechanin ulefanecha she'zari, my seed. V'zerazari ad olam zera kosher. Don't take this tefillah for granted. No one knows the gedolei Yisrael of the previous generations. Unfortunately, can't say that this was fulfilled by them. The einikloch of the balei toisvis, who unfortunately today are not shomer Torah mitzvos, who are married to goyim today. The balei toisvis. So. It's a very sad thing that the Gedolei Yisrael, they were mispalo zari v'zerazari ad oilam zera kosher. How much more so do we need to shake that we should merit that our zera at soif kol hadoyer should be zera kosher? Frightening thing. V'al yimotzei bi uv'zari v'zerazari ad oilam shum Pisul, v'shemetz, any defect, ach, only shalom, v'emes, v'toiv, v'yoshar, v'enei, elokim, v'enei adam, the Yubali Torah can refrigerate very quickly, and it's late, and refrigerate quickly over here. We're not going to go to the end because the end is just Shuamalis. When you call Adam, the Yubali Torah, More Mikra. More means a master. A master, like a Mar. Mar means a person. Notice he puts in the Aleph over here. It's very interesting, the Aleph here. Mar means a master. You're a Balabas. I'm a Balabas on Tanakh. You should be mispalal that your children should know Tanakh. Chaval, chaval, how many people today know Chumash Rashi? Forget about Navi. Anything else. Even Chumash Rashi, even just to read the Pesukim. Morei Mishnah, Morei Salmud, Morei Raza. They should know all the secrets. They should know Zohar. Okay, that comes after you know Chumash and Mishnayis and Gemara. Then you can delve into the secrets of the Torah. More mitzvah, masters of doing the mitzvah, Sasha. More goyim lechasodim. More, look at this beautiful expression. Midos terumios. Exalted midos. It's a very beautiful expression. You see this, some people in the journals, they write this. Midos terumi means to be uplifted. Teruma means to uplift it. People, children, who have exalted character. Not midos toivos. The Shlah has a beautiful expression. Midos terumios. He's not satisfied, the Shlah, with midos toivos. It's not good enough for the Shlah. The Shlah has very high standards. Exalted midos. The avducha, they should serve you, be ahava uviyira pinimis. An inner love, an inner fear. Lo yirech itzonios. Don't look at a person's skull cap. Kippa sruga, velvet, this, that, all mamish mishagas. If he wears a uniform, a tzahal uniform, if he wears a police uniform, if he wears a strimal, what difference does it make? V'sei l'chol givia u givia, everybody. Mehem de machsor bechavod, give every givia, means of every person, whatever they need. Bechavod. Harachamon hu yifar nesenu bechavod. Dignity. V'sei l'chem brios, health. V'chavod, honor. V'choyach, strength. V'sei l'chem koima. They should stand tall. They should stand with pride. The yoifi, beauty, v'chein, v'chesed, v'ya ahava, v'achva, v'sholem, b'neim, all of humanity, our children, v'saz b'lechem. Look at this. Sheduchim, boy. You know, no wonder why the marketers, they love this prayer. Okay, he was ahead of his time. V'saz b'lechem, zivugim, when you pray for children, Hashem, I want a full package. I don't just want you to give me children. I want a guarantee before they're even born that I'm going to get for them good shidduchim. I should have no daigus when it comes time to marry them off. I want the full package. At the time they're born, they should come with a label who the shidduch is. No daigus.
Tazmin lahem.
Prepare. Tazmin. Same expression. Tazmin lahem zivugim hagudim mizera mizera talmidei chachomim. Mizera tzadikim v'gam zivugim yukim moysam gochol asher hispalalti aleihem. Everything I've prayed for, ki zikaron echad oyle lekanu lekan. Very powerful stuff here. Okay, the depth of this is atuhu yudea kol talumos. You know all the secrets, Hashem. Ulufanecha niglu matzpuni libi. It is revealed the hidden secrets of my heart. Ki kivanti. I had intent. Mechol el leman shimcha hagadol v'yakadosh. I'm doing this only l'shem shemayim. Leman tayros hakadosh alkein aneini Hashem aneini. We're pulling all of the trump card. Moshe Rabbeinu, he was very desperate. He kept on praying to Hashem, Hashem, please, come on. Big deal, they worship the Egel. So they worship the Egel. So what's so terrible? They're just children, come on. Hashem said, no, they're done. And when Moshe saw he's in a lot of trouble, Hashem is not willing to forgive them. So what did Moshe do? He pulled out the trump card. Zachar la'Avraham li'Yitzchak u'li'Yakov. That worked. When nothing else works, Zuchus Avos works. And here at the end of the tefillah, the Shlah is pulling out the trump card. If all of my tefillahs here didn't work, Hashem, Zachar Aneni and Bavur Ha'ovos HaKadoshim Avramis of Yaakov and Glolam in their sake Toshiabonim Liyaswanofim, the branches of this beautiful tree Daimim L'Sharoshim, to the roots. Uvavur David Avdecha, okay, Shavuos is the Yom Tov of David. It's all about Shavuos. Everything here is hinged on Erev Rosh Chodesh Sivan. Regel Harvi B'Merkava. Ooh, Kabbalah. In case the Mekubalim also want, they also want a piece of the action. The Mekubalim also want a piece. You have to satisfy all of your customers, Rabbi Yisai. You have to satisfy the Mekubalim amongst us who want over here some B'Merkava. If you know what that means, then stand up and explain what this means. But the fourth leg of the Merkava, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and David, Hamishoyer, David sings the Nohim Zemirois Yisrael Beruach Kod Shecha. And then he says the Shir HaMalos, and then he concludes with Ona Hashem Shemea Tefila Yikuyim Banu Apasek Bani Zois Blisios Amar Hashem. The pasuk, this pasuk, this is my bris. Ruchi Asher Lechu Dvei Asher Sam Meficha Lo Yimush Mipicha Mipi Zaracha Mipi Zer Zaracha Amar Hashem Me'ata Vi'ad Olam Yidlutim Mifiv Hegim Luchnach Hashem Tzvi Goli. This is the beautiful tefila of the Shla, which the minhag of Yisrael, especially in our generation, is to say this. And obviously, the Balei Musar tell us a lot of this. Tefillah depends on a person's personal sanctity, which very much relates to his, in this generation, to the dangers of Shmir Senayim. It's no joke. People who joke about it, they always come back and they say, you know, I made light of it and I was nichshol. And now I begin to appreciate the severity of it's not as, it's a serious matter. It just takes one click. It's not something to make light of, even though many adults do make light of it. But you know, Rabbi Tzio Solomon, he went all out, and Halavai Hashem should have machmanis on him, give him refuah shleima, and we should all merit that every word of this tefillah should be mekuyim by everyone here, b'shleimus, by you and your children, by Gans Klal Yisrael. Rabbis, have a wonderful day. A wonderful Chodesh, a good Erev Rosh Chodesh, and a good Chodesh Sivan, a Yom Tov of Kabbalah Satayra, and all of the brachas that come with the Torah. Be well, thank you very much. Zay Gazon.
Thank you, everyone.
Yes, yes.
I wanted to just say that Yom Kippur Katan was started by the Ari. His reason was that since the destruction of the temple, the Yirei Chatos brought, and so this was a way of doing tshuva without having the
carbon chatos. Since there is no carbon chatos, the soir isn't as the chatos on Yom on Rosh Chodesh. So this Yom Kippur Katan is a replacement. Very nice. So it's not so long ago. The Ari wasn't all that long ago.
1590
something. 300
years.
Who's this?
The Ari HaKadosh, the Ari Zal.
The Ari was in the 1500s.
Right, so 1500. So that's what I mean. It doesn't go back to the Rishonim. It doesn't go back. That means Rashi did not daven Yom Kippur Katan. The Rishonim, you know, the Rishonim didn't have Yom Kippur Katan. They'd have regular, right, like us. We relate to the Rishonim. I don't know. I have a very hard time going to Yom Kippur Katan. I don't know about you. Once in a while, occasionally, I'll go to Yom Kippur Katan, but the Rishonim didn't have this. This is a new thing from the Achronim. They do it in Yeshiva Elul. Elul is very popular.
Did you once say that it was originally established only for Elul?
Yeah, some Elul was only for Elul. Then it spread to other.
Yeah, it looks like it's also very Elul because it's pre-Shavuos.
This became very popular.
Okay. This is
Tamari, thank you for coming to the Shir.
Thank you.